So the massive shooting spree in the region's political and cultural identity in Norway has raised a debate that's a familiar one for people of Europe, even if the violence in Norway is incomprehensible to the victims of the tragedy. And the voices we've heard this morning are wounded with hurt and pain and fear about what's next. But is the issue of one man's madness extrapolatable and enlargeable to the issue of fear of strangers and xenophobia in Europe, broadly speaking? Jonathan Lawrence is a professor of political science at Boston College and an expert on Islam and Europe. He's author of the new book, The Emancipation of Europe's Muslims. Good morning to you, Professor.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Great. And Professor Saeed Khan joins us from Detroit. He's a lecturer in Islamic and Middle East Studies at Wayne State University in that city. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
All right. So before we begin this discussion, you know, a lot of loose comparisons have been made to Timothy McVeigh and the Murrah Building bombing in Oklahoma City and the homegrown terrorism and kind of right-wing extremism in the United States and this experience last Friday in Norway. And even earlier on this program this morning, a professor of socio-anthropology at Oslo University said this.
The ideology on which he draws is fairly widespread. Nobody knows exactly how widespread, but there are websites and Facebook groups and various internet connections which suggest that we talk about tens of thousands of people who largely share parts of his worldview to the effect that the Norwegian government and elites have somehow sold out the country by allowing too many aliens in, and that there is an irreconcilable conflict between the West and Islam, so that the very presence of Muslims in Europe is an extreme provocation.
And of course, that's Thomas Eriksen, professor of social anthropology at Oslo University, reacting to the reports that have come out all weekend long that this Mr. Breivik was opposed to Muslims living in Europe and in Norway, and believed that the government was behind some conspiracy to increase their status inside Norway. Now, he is saying, and this is an individual who actually experienced the moment of silence less than an hour ago, Jonathan Lawrence. He says that the views of this madman Breivik are widespread. Do you buy that?
Well, I think there are. You need to distinguish the critiques of multiculturalism into the sort of reasonable group, which may include some of the heads of government in a few European countries who ask for integration of minority communities, a domestication, and a kind of adapted practice of Islam to a European context. And then you have the maximalists, who are really asking for assimilation. They're asking Muslims to disavow their religion. And they're really requiring something that is not required of other minority groups. And so on the one hand, it's widespread because, yes, people are increasingly aware and sometimes uncomfortable with diversity in their midst. On the other hand, to really take it to these extremes, I think you have to look for the influence really of the politicians on the margin, like Geert Wilders in the Netherlands.
And that's Jonathan Lawrence, professor of political science at Boston College. Professor Saeed Khan, who does find Mr. Breivik's ideas to be plausible and the maximalist actions he took to be justified?
Well, I think what's interesting in the case of Mr. Breivik is who are the victims of his actions. On the one hand, his rhetoric seems to be very much driven by Geert Wilders and this very anti-Muslim, anti-Islamic rhetoric, which you see pervading across Europe at a political level, and I would even dare say a mainstream level, whether it is in Belgium or France and banning the burqa, Switzerland, where elections recently very much were couched in this anti-Muslim panic, as well as in the Netherlands and other places. One would think that clearly this really is an issue front and center, pitting Europe against a Muslim encroachment, a Muslim incursion. But at the same time, it must not be forgotten that the victims here, that the intended target was quite clearly those on the political left of Norway. And so I think what we're finding then is the kind of Islamophobia, the kind of Muslimophobia that is spreading throughout Europe is really more symptomatic of a general and more broader moral panic that is through Europe. And part of that, I would submit, is because Europe is going through an identity crisis which has gone on for the last generation or so, with these nation states moving toward a European Union, this post-national phenomenon.
And all of those debates are important, Saeed Khan, but I'm wondering if we can make a distinction between a single sociopath popping off here and these very important debates that you describe. I mean, do we believe for a minute that but for Muslims, this Mr. Breivik would be a harmless kindergarten school teacher somewhere?
I'm not really sure about that, John, because on the one hand, I think that the Muslim issue, I don't want to call it a Muslim problem in Europe, as sometimes it is defined, would be the easiest, most plausible explanation. And one can always then go ahead and argue that if Muslims were a little bit more willing to assimilate, or if Muslims were willing to not be so visible with their countenance, with their garb as they walk through European public space, that the European consciousness of people like a Mr. Breivik would be mollified. And I'm not really sure if that's precise.
Hmm. Professor Saeed Khan is a lecturer in Islamic and Middle East Studies at Wayne State University in Detroit. Well, then to you, Jonathan Lawrence, political science professor at Boston College. Is it the case, then, that Breivik's actions are permitted because Europe has not clarified the issue of who is a European and who may be permitted to live in this supposedly multicultural Europe?
I think you're right that for many years there was some ambiguity in the multicultural policies pursued, especially in the 1980s and really perhaps until the early 1990s. But for the last 15, even 20 years, the kind of multiculturalism that Breivik critiques really has not been in existence. It is true, as Dr. Khan just stated, that on the contrary, there's been a rise in nationalist sentiment, in sometimes nativist fervor, that has led to the picking on of some really low-hanging fruit, such as banning the burqa or the headscarf, which are practices which are not entirely widespread in the countries where they were targeted, instead of really engaging the Islamic communities as well as the majority populations on what it means to be a religiously diverse society. This does not mean capitulating to any minority. It does not mean allowing tolerance for the intolerant. It means simply making clear the rules and rights of every community and its individuals to exist as individuals outside of that community. And that has been ongoing for the last decade or so, which makes Breivik's critique of European multiculturalism very much outdated.
Although we should note that Norway is not a part of the European Union, whether or not that bears on this at all, it is more of an isolated community, but less so this morning, that's for sure. Jonathan Lawrence, a professor of political science at Boston College, an expert on Islam and Europe, author of the new book, The Emancipation of Europe's Muslims, and Professor Saeed Khan, lecturer in Islamic and Middle East Studies at Wayne State University in Detroit. Thanks to both of you for joining us on this sad morning for the people of Norway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.